The third characteristic of the day in which we live is that it is a day of wickedness. Verse 13. Paul says, let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy. Paul says that we're to walk, that is, we're to live one way and not in another. Now, in the first part of the verse, when he says, let us walk properly as in the day, he's talking about the day that is coming. In the second part of the verse, he's talking about the day in which we live. And he says it's a day that is characterized by revelry and drunkenness. Revelry has the idea of drunken parties and carousing. You know what drunkenness means. You know what the problem with our society today is? Revelry and drunkenness is not just tolerated, it's accepted, and in fact it's viewed as acceptable behavior. It's a day, he says, of lewdness and lust. You notice he puts these all together in twos. Lewdness and lust, that's basically sexual immorality. It's a day of strife and envy. That has the idea of violent behavior. The way our world is today is not the way God designed it. This world is not what it was meant to be. All its pain, all its suffering, and all of that pain and suffering comes because of the sin of this world. Well, Paul then says, fourthly, it's a day of self-gratification. Verse 14, but put on the Lord Jesus, here it is, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. The idea is not just that people lust over what they don't have. And Paul probably here had sexual immorality in mind, but lust goes beyond just sexual immorality. The idea here is, he says, make no provision for the flesh. People are planning to be involved in sexual immorality. People are planning to be involved in wrong things. Make no provision. Don't plan on it for the flesh. You see, the day in which we live, people are planning to be lustful. They plan to be immoral. That is how they organize their lives. Now, Paul is not saying, as he lists these four things for us, he's not saying that every person does every one of these things. He's saying that these things are tolerated in our society. They are encouraged in our society. They're even looked upon as normal behavior in our society. Our world has strayed far from God. It has deviated from His plan. It has deviated from His design for this world. Now, as a Christian, it's easy to get discouraged when we look at a world that is so wicked and so immoral. And it's easy for us to get a pessimistic view of the world. And so Paul gives us a fifth thing about our world today, and that is, it's a day of opportunity. In verse 13, he says, let us walk properly as in the day. In verse 14, he says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. In contrast to the world around us, we are to walk, that is, we are to live properly. And here's how you know if you're living properly. He says, let us walk properly as in that day that's coming. Listen, if you won't do it in the day when Jesus comes, you shouldn't be doing it today. That's how you can gauge whether your actions are proper today. We are to live just as they will live in that day. Which day? The day that's coming. And then he says, we are to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. That is, we are to be clothed in Jesus. That's one of the Apostle Paul's favorite sayings, illustrations. He does this numerous times in the New Testament. For example, in the book of Ephesians, he says we're to be clothed in the new man, that is the man who's been changed by Jesus. In Ephesians 6, he says we're to put on or be clothed in the armor of God, which protects us against the spiritual enemy. In Colossians 3, he says we're to put on compassion and kindness and humility and meekness and long-suffering, all characteristics of Jesus. We're to be clothed in those things. In 1 Thessalonians 5, he says put on faith, love, and hope. Now here in Romans 13, he tells us, put on Jesus. You are to be clothed in Jesus. You are to be clothed with His love and His humility and His compassion and His purity and His holiness and everything else that He is. Ladies, did you ever have another lady come to you in church and say, wow, that's a nice dress. I like your dress today. I like your sweater today. Where'd you buy that at? That makes you feel good. Wow, it's nice that other people like what I wear. Have you ever had somebody come to you and say, that's a nice Jesus that you're wearing? I like the Jesus you've got on today. That's what Paul is saying to us here. Put on Jesus. Let people see Jesus as you walk around. The day in which we live is not just an evil day. And listen, there's a good side to this day being evil because it makes it a day of opportunity. We live in a day of opportunity for Christians. We have an opportunity to show people what Jesus looks like. We have an opportunity to show people there is a better way. Don't be so overwhelmed with the darkness that you miss the opportunity to show people the light. Jesus said in Matthew 5, let your light so shine before others that they may see your good works, the works you do for Jesus, the works you do in the name of Jesus, and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. In this day of darkness, we have the opportunity to be the light. Now, Paul talks about a second day, and it's the day that is coming. And the first thing he says about this day is, it's a day of anticipation. Verse 11, now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. Verse 12, the day is at hand. This is not now, it is what will be. It's a day in the future. Paul identifies it as the day of our salvation. That is, the day when our salvation will be completed. And that day will be when Jesus comes. That is the day that Christians are waiting for. That is the day that Christians are hoping for. That is the day that Christians are longing for. It is a day of anticipation. My niece, who lives in Arkansas, and her husband, Ed, who's a Southern Baptist minister, adopted a young boy from Russia. His name is Nick, and Nick has grown up now in their family. And of course, growing up in Arkansas, he, and God will forgive him for this, he became a Razorbacks fan. And Nick loves the Arkansas Razorbacks. And one thing that he wanted to do as a little boy is Nick always wanted to go to the University of Arkansas and watch the Razorbacks play football. And one year, I think he was about high school age then, without telling Nick, his dad Ed purchased some tickets to the Razorback football game as a special treat for Nick. And when they were going to tell them about the tickets and show them the tickets of the game, my niece began with her telephone to videotape because she knew what was going to happen. And when Ed said, hey, Nick, look at what I got, and handed him the tickets, and Nick looked at him, and then it was like a light bulb came on. And he went ballistic. He began screaming. He began jumping up and down, racing around the living room, threw himself on the floor, got up and danced some more. He couldn't contain himself for the anticipation of what was coming. I don't know what it is in life that you anticipate or what you might be anticipating right now, and I don't know how you express that anticipation. Maybe, like Nick, you can't contain yourself. However, you show your excitement about whatever it is that you are anticipating should be nothing when compared to your anticipation of the return of Jesus. His return should be a day of anticipation for you. The second characteristic, and the last one, you'll be glad to hear, is it's a day of spiritual light. Verse 12, the night is far spent. The day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. In this day of spiritual darkness, you and I are to put on the armor of light. Now, when you stop to think about it, that makes sense on several different levels. First, we are children of light, so we ought to act like children of light. And secondly, the day that's coming will be a day of spiritual light, but we don't have to wait for the day to come when Jesus will be the light of the world. We can start being the light now. We can start dispelling the darkness around us now. My wife and I did something that we swore we would never do. We bought an artificial Christmas tree. This, in my family, is like a cardinal sin. And we bought it last year at the end of Christmas because we're cheap. And we got it on sale. Now, my wife likes to put up the Christmas tree as soon as possible. And the second thing is she likes a lot of lights on the tree. There are never enough lights for my wife. I put lights on the tree, and she comes in and she looks at it, and then she says, put more lights on the tree. So I put more lights on the tree. The problem is that my wife wants to put up the tree the day after Thanksgiving. And do you know what happens to the needles on a tree if you put it up the day after Thanksgiving? By Christmas Day, you have a Charlie Brown tree. And all the needles are on the floor. And you have some sticks up here. She said to me yesterday, oh, this year, we get to put up the tree the day after Thanksgiving. I don't even have to water it. You know, I'm always on my hands and knees. I've tried to make contraptions. I have a tube, and I bring it up through the tree, and I strap it, and I put a funnel on top so I can water without it. It never works. She is anticipating putting up the tree the day after Thanksgiving because the needles will never fall off of this tree. Hallelujah. You see, we can start having the lights of the Christmas tree the day after Thanksgiving. We don't have to wait for Christmas to turn on the lights. And you don't have to wait for Jesus to turn on the light. We can start dispelling the darkness around us now, today. And that should be our goal. That should be what we are all about as Christians. Now, I was never really good in science, but I have been told that physical darkness is not something you can study. Darkness is not a thing. You can study light, but you can't study darkness. That's because darkness is not a substance. Darkness is an absence of light. Spiritual darkness in our world is the absence of spiritual light. Our world is dark, but it doesn't have to be. Because we have the light. We've been told to put on the armor of light. We've been told to light the way to Jesus. Now, I want to come back to the title of our sermon, The Day Is Coming. It will be a day when the spiritual darkness is over. It will be a day when the spiritual light will fill our world. And there are only two questions that any of us need to ask today. One of those questions will apply to every person here, every person who is listening. The first question is, are you ready for the light to come? Are you ready for Jesus? Not everyone is. Most people today are filled with spiritual darkness. They don't know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Only those who know Jesus are ready for the light to come. Now, the good news is you can be ready. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish because of their spiritual darkness, but can have everlasting life and everlasting light. Jesus is the light that lights the way to God. Are you ready for Him to come? The second question is, are you living out the truth of the light? You see, one of those two questions applies to you. You either don't know Jesus and you're not ready for the light to come, you need to get ready, or you know Jesus, and the question for you is, are you living out the light of Jesus? Are people looking at you and saying, that's a nice Jesus that you're dressed in today? You see, there's a day that is now, and there's a day that is coming. The day that is now is predominantly dark and sinful. But we can be little pockets of light. I was watching a football game the other day, and I don't know if they turned out the stadium lights. It was real dark, and people began to hold up their telephones like this. And there were little pinpoints of light. Not everywhere, just pinpoints of light all over the stadium, pinpoints of light. That's what we need. We need pinpoints of light in this dark world. You can be one of those pinpoints of light. And let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. The challenge is twofold. Get ready for the light to come. And if you are ready, become a point of light. Pray with me. Father, today we fall in one of two categories. We are either part of the light or we are part of the darkness. Lord, for anyone who is here today, for anyone who is watching, who may not know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, by your Spirit, we pray that you would work in their lives. The Bible says that all of us were born in sin, but the Bible says the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. And all anyone has to do is to receive Jesus as their Lord and their Savior. Confess, God, I know I'm a sinner. God, I know I need something in my life, and what I need is Jesus. And would you forgive me for my sin, take me out of the spiritual darkness of my world, and make me a point of light. And then, Father, for those who know Jesus, help us to shine the light that others might see Jesus in us. I pray in Christ's name. Amen.